ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗೋರಂ ಗಾಯತೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುದಿನಕಾರಿಣಂ ಪರಮಾನಂದಮಾಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯೈಶ್ವರಂ ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೈವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ನಮಾಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಷ್ಟಾಯ ಭೂಫಲ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಜಯಪ್ರಕಾಶಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪಾದಾಯ ನಿತಾಯ ಕೃಪಪ್ರದಾಯಿನಿ ಗೌರಕಥಾಧಾಮದಾಯ ನಗರ ಗ್ರಾಮಕಾರಿಣಿ ನಮಾಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪುಷ್ಪಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಕಾರಿಣಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ ಅತಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 1 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 3 ವರ್ಸ್ ನಂಬರ್ 3. ಯಸ್ಯಾವಯಾವಯ ಸಂಸ್ಥಾನೈ ಕಲ್ಪಿತೋ ಲೋಕ ವಿಸ್ತರಃ ತದ್ವೈ ಭಾಗವತೋ ರೂಪಂ ವಿಶುದ್ಧಂ ಸತ್ವಂ ಉರ್ಜಿತಂ. ಯಸ್ಯಾವಯಾವಯ ಸಂಸ್ಥಾನೈ ಕಲ್ಪಿತೋ ಲೋಕ ವಿಸ್ತರಃ ತದ್ವೈ ಭಾಗವತೋ ರೂಪಂ ವಿಶುದ್ಧಂ ಸತ್ವಂ ಊರ್ಜಿತಂ. ಯಸ್ಯಾವಯಾವಯ ಸಂಸ್ಥಾನೈ ಕಲ್ಪಿತೋ ಲೋಕ ವಿಸ್ತರಃ ತದ್ವೈ ಭಗವತೋ ರೂಪಂ ವಿಶುದ್ಧಂ ಸತ್ವಂ ಊರ್ಜಿತಂ. Word by word, if you like to repeat, yasya, whose, avaya, avayava, bodily expansion, samsthanai, situated in, kalpitaha, is imagined, Loka, planets of inhabitants. Vistaraha, various. Tadvai, but that is. Bhagavataha, of the personality of Godhead. Rupam, form. Vishuddham, purely. Sattvam, existence. Urjitam, excellence. Translation. It is believed that all the universal planetary systems are situated on the extensive body of the Purusha, but he has nothing to do with the created material ingredients. His body is eternally in spiritual existence or excellence. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The conception of the Virat Rupa or Vishva Rupa of the Supreme Absolute Truth is especially meant for the neophyte who can hardly think of the transcendental form of the personality of Godhead. To him, a form means something of this material world, and therefore an opposite conception of the Absolute is necessary in the beginning to concentrate the mind on the power extension of the Lord. As stated above, the Lord extends His potency in the form of the Mahatattva, which includes all the material ingredients. The extension of power by the Lord and the Lord Himself are one in one sense, but at the same time the Mahatattva is different from the Lord. Therefore, the potency of the Lord and the Lord are simultaneously different and non-different. The conception of Virat Rupa, especially for the impersonalist, is thus non-different from the eternal form of the Lord. This eternal form of the Lord exists prior to the creation of the Mahatattva, and it is stressed here that the eternal form of the Lord is far excellence, spiritual or transcendental, to the modes of material nature. The very same transcendental form of the Lord is manifested by His internal potency, and the formation of His multifarious manifestations of incarnations is always of the same transcendental quality without any touch of the Mahatattva. If you like to repeat the translation, it is believed that all the universal planetary systems are situated on the extensive body of the Purusha. But he has nothing to do with the created material ingredients. His body is eternally in spiritual existence par excellence. I seek the blessings of all the ascended devotees here, so I can glorify the Lord and speak some meaningful realizations. This particular verse is another, we can actually go about this verse in different perspectives. One verse that comes to mind is the Bhagavad Gita verse where Krishna is speaking about His external energy, the potency of His external energy. Daivyesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. So he's speaking about how powerful his energies are. And to give an example of the story of devotees, there's a Vaishnava poet who glorifies the Pandavas, and he's saying, Pandavaru kauravarige lekavadi sotarante rajyavannu bidabekan Ranga Vithala Barabekante Popu Hogona Baro Ranga Popu Hogona Baro Krishna. So this is the story of the Mahabharata, where Pandavas and Kauravas, brothers, cousin brothers, fought amongst themselves, and in the game of dice the Pandavas apparently lost to the Kauravas. And now there's only one person who can save the situation, and that is Krishna. And he is called upon the scene. And when Krishna was sent as the Shanti Duta, the peace messenger, to the Hastinapur to make peace with the Kauravas, Duryodhan, he was so evil-minded, he was so lost, so bewildered by the external potency of the Lord, we can say that he tried to capture Krishna. He wanted to make Krishna his prisoner. And in the attempt to do that, Krishna was so merciful, he actually showed his Virat Rupa, he actually showed his universal form, his external energy, so powerful form to Duryodhana and also to Dhritarashtra, just to again kind of give the shock treatment to say, look, be careful what you're getting into. Because Duryodhan was very determined that we have all these great personalities, Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, everybody, they have come here to give up their lives for my sake. That was the mood of Duryodhan. He was Madarte Tyakta Jivitaha. In the Bhagavad Gita first chapter, we see Duryodhan's words. He says, they have come here to give up their lives for me. So he's like, only one obstacle is Krishna. So he wanted to capture Krishna. And Duryodhan could not recognize even the external energy of the Lord. So that's why here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that to him, form means something of this material world. And therefore, an opposite conception of the absolute is necessary. But somehow, what I find really intriguing is this same Duryodhan, just before he tried to capture Krishna, this same Duryodhan chose the material energy of the Lord. When Arjuna and Duryodhan approached Krishna to get help for the upcoming war, Krishna said, look, I give either myself without lifting a weapon, just as an advisor, or I give my whole Narayani Sena, the 11 Akshoyini Sena, the most powerful army in the world at that time, I give that. And that's also, that army of the Lord is also the energy of the Lord. It's also the external energy. It's also the expansion. It's the Mahatattva aspect of Krishna. And the same Duryodhan, he chose external potency of the Lord. And happily, I mean, although Arjuna got to choose first, and when Arjuna said, I choose Krishna, he chooses the internal energy of the Lord. He chooses the Lord himself. And Duryodhan is ecstatic. He's like, wow, Arjuna got bewildered by Maya. So he chose Krishna. So now I get the real thing. So what I find very interesting is this contrast between how it's so difficult to understand the material energy that the same Duryodhan who chose the material energy still could not recognize the same energy that he chose over Krishna. So that's how difficult it can be to distinguish. So this appreciation, like I was thinking, sometimes the tendency could be to oversimplify the effects of external energy of the Lord. But this seems to be the level one to even try to understand the Lord. If we cannot have appreciation for the Virat Rupa, the external energy of the Lord, then it becomes very difficult to have appreciation for Krishna. And Duryodhan is that example. He couldn't get it. He didn't get the point. So here the idea is in this verse is that if we can meditate on the Mahatattva, that can help us to get to Krishna. And in fact, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna actually helps Arjuna by explaining himself in different ways. Among the mountains, I'm Himalayas, and among the animals, I'm lion. So again, the whole meditation is catered to be Krishna conscious, to see Krishna everywhere. That's one thing. And then I was thinking of Bhishma Deva, who actually knew the whole situation, and he was a devotee at heart, and yet he had to fight for the Kaurava army. And in the end, when he puts his weapons down, and he's lying on this bed of arrows, he is in extreme pain, inexplicable pain. And yet, when Yudhishthira Maharaj approaches Bhishma to get instructions from Bhishma Dev, I'm going to quote like a couple of verses that Bhishma Dev quotes that's exactly like this. This verse is the point of this verse. So Bhishma Dev speaks about this Virat Rupa form of the Lord, and yet he gives the other side of the balance of how Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So he says, Dhasat Chandraka Nakshatram Kimdasho Bhumahodadihi Vasudevasya Viryena Vidritani Mahatmanaha Sasurasura Gandharvam Sayakshoragarakshasam Jagat Vashevartetedam Krishnasya Sacharacharam Indriyani Mano Buddhi Sattvam Tejo Balam Dhritihi Vasudevatma Kanyahu Kshetram Kshetragna Evacha. So he's speaking about, first of all, how the moon and the sun and the stars and the sky, the directions, the earth, the great ocean, they're all essentially supported by the power of Vasudeva, the Supreme Person. It's all situated in Him. And then he says, this world, along with all the sentient and insentient objects, with gods and asuras and the different devatas and the gandharvas, as well as the yakshas and the rakshasas, they are all within the Lord and they are under the control of the Supreme Person, Krishna. And then the third verse, it's about, it's very, very interesting. The sense organs, the mind, intellect, and the quality of the sattva, the power, the strength, the stability, as well as the body and the individual soul, all have Vasudeva as their indwelling. So, you know, when we're talking about this, like, what is this Mahatattva? This verses of Bhishmadev brings about three important points that I want to kind of share some understanding about this. The first point, he's speaking about how the sun and the moon and the sky. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, Srila Prabhupada actually says, the cause of the creation is called the Mahatattva, or total material energy, and its effect is the creation itself. And he speaks more about this, like how the cause nor the effects, doesn't exist in the beginning. Just as in the Bhagavatam, Krishna says, Aham eva shameva grets, it is I who existed in the beginning and there was nothing else, and it is I who is now and there will always be me. Also, in the purport to Adi Leela Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada speaks about the same thing that Bhishmadev is speaking in the second verse that I quoted. And he's speaking about how in the Sankhya philosophy, the material cosmos is composed of 24 elements, the 5 gross material elements, the 3 subtle material elements, the 5 knowledge-acquiring senses, the 5 active senses, the 5 objects of sense pleasure, and the total material energy, which is the Mahatattva. In this context, where it brings us is, Prabhupada explains in this, this is in the Madhya Leela, he explains more about this sattva thing, and he says, since everything is under Krishna's protection, Sri Krishna is called Ashraya Tattva. Everything else is called Ashrita Tattva. The material creation is also called Ashrita Tattva. To understand Krishna perfectly, one has to make an analytical study of Ashraya Tattva and Ashrita Tattva. So I guess that's what Duryodhana could not do. He couldn't make that distinction between Krishna's army. Therefore, who does it belong to? Who is giving shelter to that army? Isn't that Krishna? So he could not apparently make that distinction between the Ashraya Tattva and the Ashrita Tattva. And he tried to take shelter without the person who was giving shelter. So that was the problem there. Okay, then I want to share this verse. This is chanted by Madhvacharya. He composed these verses and he explains very nicely this concept. Srishti samhara lila vila satatam pushta sad gunya sad vigraha ullasinam Dushtanishesha samharakar modhyatam dushta pushti shishta prajasam shayam Prinayamo vasudevam devata mandala khanda mandalam. So Madhvacharya says, this creation, the destruction, these are all like sport for the Lord. He doesn't need to do that. And his body, I mean, he's making a distinction between the Mahatattva, the Virat Rupa body, and his eternal form, the internal potency body. And he says, he, as a person, he's full of auspicious qualities. And he's always protecting the devotees, and he's always destroying the wicked energies. And he's always protecting those who are willing to know him. And, yeah. When he explains about the Shadgunya, the 6 qualities, like Aishwarya, Virya, Yasha, Shri, Jnana, Vijnana, and he says, these qualities are present in varying degrees in gods and great persons, but are present in infinite measure in the Supreme Being Himself. So, when Bhishmadev is speaking about how the Supreme Lord empowers these devatas with His power, here this verse of Madhvacharya again confirms how we cannot like oversimplify the fact. It is true that there are devatas, there are planets who are more powerful than us, the human beings. But they, as the devatas, need to understand that they are less powerful than the Supreme Lord. So there is this hierarchy recognizing which helps us to see the Lord, how he works through his different expansions. And like in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Chaturvyuha, it's explained how the Lord supervises all these aspects. And when in the third canto it's explained about this particular supervision, how the Vasudeva expansion of the Lord is about the ego aspect. And then the Aniruddha expansion of the Lord is about the mind. And again, I was thinking of this connection between the expansion of mind and the sun and moon, and how it's all on a very psychological level, and it's very, we can see it in our lives, we can see the relevance of it. Like we can see in countries where there is more sunshine, people tend to feel more happy. They smile more, and they just, the energy of the sun gives them that shakti, you can say. And in countries where there's less sunshine, people commit more suicides. People are more depressed. Most people are on antidepressants and so on. So that supervision, again, I find it very interesting. How Krishna, as he expands, he delegates these different functions, these different psychological functions to different forms and different deities, and it goes all the way into the whole organization of the universe. There's a saying by the Greeks. They would say that when we look at our body, we realize that when we look at our body and we see there's water inside, we realize there's also water outside. And then we look at the mind, we have this mind, and so we can also see that there is the microcosm and the macrocosm aspect, to see that it's different forms of matter have correlation with that supreme existence, and how the connection between our mind, microcosm, and then the supreme large expansion and the way he organizes the cosmos, the macrocosm, are interconnected. So it's all on that, like, it's all psychological. It's something like a movie, an experience of watching a movie. When we watch a movie, we don't actually get something tangible or substantial in return. It's the experience. So my understanding is also this whole creation of the Mahatattva, what goes on, it's that experience. Even in this description, when Krishna speaks about among the mountains and Himalayas, and when he describes himself in all these ways, in one sense, you can say that it's kind of imagination to see the colors of this sky and the colors of the sunshine as the dress of the Lord. And, you know, it's a kind of an imagination, but it's that experience which reminds us of Krishna. So there's that. But of course, coming to human beings, there are different factors to consider. Even in that psychological experience, there is the karma factor. Like if I want to smell a flower, because of the desire to want to smell the flower, then I come in contact with the flower and the experience is there. So the desire is what is bringing us in connection with the object that's going to give us that experience. And then, of course, there is an aspect of karma. Somebody may want to fly in the air with a private jet. They may want that experience, but they may not have that karma too. So that's like what I understand is the whole setup of this universe. I also wanted to share this story of, in the 12th canto, Markandeya Rishi. This is very interesting. Not only Arjuna asked to see the Virat Rupa of the Supreme Lord, when Markandeya Rishi, he was a very powerful rishi who had performed severe austerities, and he had perfected fixing his mind on self-realization. He had done many austerities. He was very strict in following principles. when the Supreme Lord, being pleased with his austerity, even the Cupids came and tried to disturb him, he did not get disturbed. And when finally the Supreme Lord appears, the Supreme Lord appeared in Naranarayana Rishi form. So one of them was in blackish complexion and the other was whitish complexion, and they both had four arms, and this beautiful form of the Lord as Naranarayana Rishi was shining with effulgence, and they had beautiful eyes like lotus petals, and they wore black deer skin, and they wore bark of trees, and they were wearing the sacred thread. So they appeared in this mendicant form to Markandeya Rishi, and he asked, "What do you want?" to Markandeya Rishi. And so Markandeya Rishi said, "I want to see your material energy. I want to see material energy." And that experience, that was quite terrifying. So even as Markandeya Rishi was looking upon, the rain started pouring down at one point, and it started filling the ocean so much that the ocean started inundating. And it was so violent that it wiped out all the land, and the waves were really horrifying. And all the earth and mountains, they started getting covered up with this water, inundation of this water. There were great whirlpools which were beating the mighty waves, and Markandeya Rishi was watching all this monstrous waves attacking. And he actually felt what Markandeya Rishi felt, having the experience of that material energy of the Lord, was he felt lamentation, he felt bewilderness, he felt misery, he also felt happiness, and he also felt fear. And at other times he also felt pain. So, you know, just to give that experience, what happens when we get in touch with the Lord's material energy is all these feelings of ups and downs. Then when the water got inundated, the whole earth was covered with water, he was like lost. And it said that he was lost like that for countless millions of years. And his mind was bewildered by the illusory energy of Vishnu.
ಜಲದಿ ಆಲ ದೆಲೆಯ ಮೇಲೆ ಮಲಗಿ ಬೆರಳ ಸವಿವನಿಗೆ.
ಸೊ ಫೈನಲಿ ದೇರ್ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಸ್, ಐ ಮೀನ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಹೋಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಹೌ ವೆನ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೇಲ್ಡ್ ಮಾರ್ಕಂಡೇಯ ರಿಷಿ ಕುಡ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಗೋ ಇನ್ ಸೈಡ್ ದ ಬಾಡಿ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಕುಡ್ ಸಿ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಕುಡ್ ಸಿ ದ ಹೋಲ್ ಇನಂಡೇಷನ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಕುಡ್ ಸಿ ದ ಹೋಲ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್, ಹಿ ಕುಡ್ ಸಿ ದ ಕಾಸ್ಮಾಸ್, ಹಿ ಕುಡ್ ಸಿ ದ ಮಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಎನರ್ಜಿ, ಕುಡ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್. And then with the exhalation of the Lord, Markandeya Rishi was released outside to the same position. And there he saw in this water a banyan leaf floating, a huge banyan leaf. And there he saw the most prettiest, cutest form of blue little baby Gopal lying on that banyan leaf with his thumb. He took the thumb and he was sucking the thumb. And when Markandeya Rishi saw this amazing form, he just became so attracted. He started running towards the Lord and he wanted to embrace him. And over, the game over. So the pastime ends there, and Markandeya Rishi comes back to reality, and then of course the rest of the Bhagavatam continues. But this is again to give us that idea of how powerful the Lord's external potency is, and to understand it can be very difficult, but at the same time, if we can always be in association of those who have the taste for the serving the internal potency of the Lord, like the Pandavas, then we can remain safe in that ocean of inundation of cosmic complications. So that's some points I have. If anybody has something else to share, a comment to make, you can open up for comments and discussion. Yes, please.
Thank you. I just want to thank you for a wonderful class, and thank you for chanting the verse so beautifully. You know, it was really touching to hear. Thank you so much. Really nice.
Thank you again for the nice class. You're talking about experience, you know, different experiences that we have. So is it when we become purified and spiritual that it'd be kind of the same kind of thing that we will experience? It'll be an experience of the spiritual realm, or do you have any thoughts on that?
So, if I understand your question correctly, talking about experiences, you wish to know if the more we advance in spiritual life, if our experiences will come more close to... What would the experience be if we are more advanced?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, going back to the example of the Pandavas, my grandmother often like tells me this. People think that the Pandavas went through difficulty. They say, oh, they got exiled, the kingdom was taken away, they were cheated in the game. But the truth is, the Pandavas were the ones who were actually happy. And Duryodhan was the one who was always miserable. He was envying, he was fearing, always thinking what these Pandavas are doing, how are they getting back together, and he was always constantly in anxiety, whereas the Pandavas, although you can say they were put through the experience of exile and difficulty and being taken away from their opulences and luxuries and facilities as princes, still their experience on the internal level always remained, they were blissful because Krishna was always there for them. They were always together, association of devotees. So, my understanding is there are two levels of experience for devotees. If we mean by experience, we shouldn't be put through difficulties, because you know the more we advance, Krishna will take away our difficulty. That's like the superficial level of experience. Like, the Pandavas were great devotees. Why were they cheated in the game? Why did they have to go on the exile? Why did they have to go through insults by the Kauravas, right? That's one part of the experience, superficial or the external part of the experience. But then there is the internal part of the experience where they considered all these things. Kunti Devi says, may this happen again and again, may always there be difficulties, so the Lord will always be with us. So my understanding is that internal experience is something, it's very intimate. It's something depending on the relationship that we have with the Lord. And It can vary from the gopis in Vrindavan who have that experience of separation. It's like highest level in the Madhurya Rasa level. And then coming down all the way in the Dasya Rasa of that experience of Hanuman experiencing joy while serving Ramachandra. So I think the experience can be depending on the rasa that the person is in. And it's undescribable what it can be, you know. Does that help?
I guess, yes, it does.
Thank you for explaining that. I was specifically asking, like, Markandeya, he wanted to see the material energy, Krishna's material energy, and then he experienced the whole material energy. So I guess I was specifically asking, is that how we will... as we become purified, we will experience the spiritual world like he did, see the material, Krishna's material energy.
Ye yathamam prapadyante. So I guess it depends very much on our level of surrender, our desires. From Markandeya Rishi, the main point is his desire. His desire was to see that. And I think we shouldn't desire that, because that was quite terrifying. But still, because he's a devotee and his consciousness, his motivation was very much about pleasing the Lord, at the end he got darshan of the Lord, and you know, and then later on he's glorified by Lord Shiva. So the end is always well for the devotee, but it all depends on our desire. And even spiritually, Krishna can reciprocate with us in unlimited ways and forms, and the rasa is unlimited. In like we can say, in the tattva experience, you can explain the supremacy of the Lord and His powers and how it could manifest. So you can predict a little bit, but when it comes to the rasa aspect, it's unpredictable. It's every relation with every devotee and Krishna is unique. There's no snowflake that's of the same design, so it's like no relation that's you can predict. Yeah.
And also sometimes, like, I remember reading Krishna book, I think it was the place where Nandaraj bathed at the wrong time, and you know, he was taken to Varuna's kingdom. Anyway, sometime after that, when all the cowherd men were assembled, it explains that Krishna just revealed to them the spiritual sky. You know, he just gave them a glimpse of the spiritual sky. So Krishna can do anything for his devotees. And we can always, you know, just like sometimes people get an honorary degree, you know, and they didn't really go to college in that. So sometimes Krishna can just give us a glimpse,
yeah,
you know, of the spiritual world. So we can always be expecting that the very best, you know, even though, like you said, there may be so much external turmoil, inwardly, our relationship with Krishna, we can be expecting that he's going to, you know, he's going to deliver us, he's going to give us a vision, something.
So true.
Thank you, Mata. It's very nice class. Just curious, does Krishna knows our suffering, what we are going through, or he experience our suffering?
Whoa. We should ask him.
Ask him?
So, the extension of power by the Lord and the Lord Himself personally are one in one sense, but at the same time, the Mahatattva is different from the Lord. I was just thinking that kind of can be the answer. It's like, yes, the Lord is aware, but at the same time, it's not that He experiences the pain in that sense of... See, for us, when we think of human form, when we think of form, all the experience we have had is with our form. The kind of pain that we experience, the kind of sensations and the touch and the feeling, it's limited to our bodily experience. But when we talk about the Supreme Lord, His body, His experiences, His senses, it's very different. So when we say the pain aspect, it's not the same as we experience. Of course, it's like it is said that we are all like children of Krishna. So even if one finger is hurting, the whole body hurts. So there is that emotional pain, you can say, that the father feels. Why is this child suffering? Why is he so much in Maya? Why is he so bewildered? So there is that compassion. We can say he's the Bhakta Vatsala. He's the ocean of mercy. He's the Karuna Sagara. So definitely somebody who's the ocean of mercy feels our suffering, feels our pain. At the same time, he's given us a free will. So he's a little bit above. He's sitting in our heart. He's like the second bird watching the other bird eat the fruit. So he's watching us, watching over. He's there. He has our back. But at the same time, he lets us experience the consequences of the free will. Just today I was reading in the Gita Daily. This is Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. Today's quote was something like, the consequences of our pain are so much more than the source of our pain. So in other words, what we do with that pain, how we deal with that, process that, sometimes is more dangerous or more can get us more into degradation than the source of it itself. I guess again, Pandavas were a good example of how they took that pain. And Krishna was always there with Pandavas.
But then in that analogy, in one sense, the happiness is determined by the location of our consciousness.
Yeah.
So obviously, I am focusing on the ignorance and the dead matters of this world. What about the sense objects that causing me experiencing that hate? But Krishna never focuses on the ignorance or avidya. So obviously his experience is never going to be same like my experience. But still need to, I mean, theoretically I understand he's a merciful, he's compassionate. But when I eat, my mother doesn't eat, I think she's still hungry. So individuality is always maintained. But still some, I was just curious, like, while we are bringing this point, that Krishna really experience what actually the soul going through to come to him, or he just grasped it, some idea, because he never experienced the ignorance of Vidya. So there must be difference, no? He has a compassion. Compassion doesn't mean, I mean, the child is suffering, mother has a compassion, doesn't mean mother is suffering with that same fever or whatever the sickness is. Yes, she has a compassion, she wants to see the child healthy. So from that, maybe you can say she's feeling the separation, child is not healthy and playful, you know, playing. But not really going through the suffering child is going through. Is it both or maybe not both?
You have an answer? Okay.
Nobody can answer Prangovinda Prabhu's question, but but I have a comment. A couple thoughts that came to my mind. One thing is that when Haridas Thakur was beaten on the marketplace, Lord Chaitanya showed that he was experiencing it. Another couple of thoughts that came to my mind, and Madan Mohan Prabhu can probably tell us the verse number and tell the verse, but in the Bhagavad Gita, there are a couple of verses. One verse that it says that Krishna says he is upadrishta, bhokta. Bhokta means he's the bharta bhokta. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so that describes that he experiences. Bhokta means bharta, bhokta.
He's
enjoyer, and that means. But whatever happens, he perceives it. But another verse again, Prangavinda Prabhu, you can mention. He says that the so and so they torture. The super soul.
Yeah, 18.5. Also doing severe austerity.
Austerities that they torture the super soul. So from those thoughts that came to my mind, it seems like there is some where he does experience it in ways. I responded to your question.
Yes.
Achintya Veda Veda Tatta. He's simultaneously feeling it and not feeling it.
The Maharaji introduced you as a writer, but you sound more like a singer. the Mahatattva, it says that is the total of all the desires of the living entities. So everything that's within this material world is emerging from the Mahatattva.
Sorry, can you repeat that? Everything in this material world?
Everything that's emerging in this material world is
marginal?
Emerging. It's coming from everything
emerging,
that's
emerging. Okay.
That's here in the material world. Is that originate from the Mahatattva?
Yes, that's my understanding.
Oh, Govinda says it's a component. Mahatattva is a component of the material creation. Mahatattva is also the complete,
total. On the other point that you mentioned, I remember this song by Purandara Dasa. He was one of our Vaishnava saints before Lord Chaitanya. 600 Purandara Dasa. He's South India, in the Madhva Sampradaya, just before Lord Chaitanya. So he actually says, this is a very nice song. It's a very kind of intimate song, and he says, it seems you're feeling the pain of your devotees. So he says, Matuvinolage gajamorei dalakshana madadi gehela de gudugudane bandu hididu natalavaya padidu pidisidane sadagara dalirame podaviyoda gudi barei baba 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 bhakutara priya shrinivasaraya It's a long song, but what he's basically referring to is, it seems that even when an elephant, Gaja, he's crying in pain by being caught by the crocodile, he just said Adi Mula. He didn't even actually say like Narayana or Krishna. He said Adi Mula.
Yes.
And you didn't even tell your wife. You didn't even tell Lakshmi Devi. You hopped on the Garuda and you rushed to the spot to save him. Why did you take his pain? And this little boy, Dhruva, he was in the forest. He left his parents and he's meditating. And you came there immediately and you gave him your blessings with your conch shell. And then, you know, all these things. And then he asks, it's a very intimate song. We cannot imitate that, or like, we have to take it in the right context. He says, was Dhruva Maharaj your grandson? Was Gajendra your relative? Is that why you appeared to save them from their pain? And what am I? Am I not your eternal servant? Am I not wailing in pain here? Can you not experience my pain? So it's like it's again like that rasa. It's that rasa of the exchange of, it's dasya, but at the same time it's like, my dear Lord, I'm in separation from you, I'm in pain. Don't you experience it? So I thought that's again a rasa connection. Okay, yes, sir. I thought, how can we end without your question or comment?
Hare Krishna. So, you know, coming back on the same topic, I was thinking again of the example with the mother and the child. Or, you know, the mother always kind of subtly experienced that pain that the child goes through. As a matter of fact, more than the child, because of the affection, the mother, you know, she can, in a sense, manifest more the symptoms of what that child is going through.
Yeah.
With her affection, her attachment, and everything in connection. So in that way, I was thinking, like, with Krishna and his devotees are the same thing, that he's so much caught, even in the case with Draupadi, when he attempted this rope or was taking place. He was so much caught. He was sitting there with Rukmini, but his thoughts weren't there. He was kind of going back and forth, waiting for when Draupadi would finally decide, okay, I'm going to call on him for good now. She'd call his name, then she would take things in her own hands, going back and forth. And he was experiencing that pain, pleasure, going back and forth until finally he had the opportunity to rescue the situation. So I was just thinking of that pain is there also, but on a transcendental platform.
Thank you. So we can end here. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki. Jai.